Support for The Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette Mail with two editorial pages, one liberal, one conservative, kind of like The Front Porch. Check it out at wvgazettemail.com. And you're on The Front Porch. We've got Bo the Super Dog here, as usual, with Rick Wilson, his partner, I guess you'd say. Or
caregiver.
Caregiver. And Lori Lynn. Hey, Lori, how you doing?
Hey, Scott.
We're here today to talk about medical marijuana, or maybe just plain marijuana. There was an effort to get a medical marijuana bill through the legislature in sort of an unusual way. We're going to talk about what happened and whether or not we're ever going to see medical marijuana legal in West Virginia. So let's start with what happened on the floor. And it's Friday, so this was just yesterday, kind of unexpectedly at the House. There was an effort to bring this out of nowhere. Lori, describe what happened.
Well, there's a bill, as there usually is, to actually legalize marijuana, and that had been triple referenced, meaning it was going to three committees, and so it really is not going to go anywhere. It's going to die in committee. And so the people who are advocating this did a procedural thing as part of another bill, an amendment to reschedule marijuana from a Schedule 1 drug, which is a very serious drug, to Schedule 4 drug, which is less serious. So it's kind of a procedural way to debate it and effectively make it a drug that could be prescribed by physicians.
So this is not going through any of the usual, you know, steps like committees and things like that.
Right.
And it's a pretty radical way to get it done. But of course, there's frustration, Rick, on the floor of the House because this has been bottled up in committee and just can't seem to get out. Despite the fact, according to one study, it seems like more than 60% of West Virginians would be in favor of medical marijuana.
From what I've seen, there's a huge majority of people who support it, and there's a lot of passion behind it. I think it is kind of historic that it even got debated in this kind of format. I mean, for a long time, it was sort of a laugh line at the Capitol, and we are not above making jokes about it here on the front porch either.
But why not do this, Lori? I mean, lots of states have done it. What's wrong with West Virginia joining the other states and having a medical marijuana bill?
Well, one problem is procedurally, and this would have just overnight made marijuana just a different kind of drug. And the way other states have done it is they've set up dispensaries. There have been regulations about how we're going to grow it, who is going to be able to sell it. You know, we don't have pills, marijuana. There's no way for a doctor to really prescribe it, right? There's no standardization of, you know, how it is given medically. I mean, you can't do this the way that they wanted to do it and have it not be kind of a mess. So that would be one big reason. Another thing, I mean, I wish that the people who are advocating this would be a little bit more honest. Most of the time when states do the medical marijuana thing, it turns into, you know, you have doctors who quote unquote prescribe it to anyone who kind of comes in, and it becomes more of a recreational thing, which may be fine. You know, I'm not super anti-marijuana, but I think if we're going to have a debate, we should actually be debating that, and not only in terms of, you know, cancer patients. I mean, it really is about more than that.
I do think there is a legitimate medical, you know, pain relief, appetite supporting kind of thing in many cases. So I think there are other bills that actually lay out the details about how you would transition toward this. I don't have a really strong feeling either way, except I keep going back to this. Here's the Bible verse. You know, Jesus says, "Woe, you hypocrites, you strain at gnats and swallow camels." You know, and like, okay, we treat marijuana like this terrible substance, and look at how many people tobacco kills, look at how many people sugar kills, look at all the drugs that are illegal, all the opioids, OxyContin and all that. It's like, really? It just seems asymmetrical.
This brings up another issue. A lot of folks on my Facebook feed talk about how medical marijuana could conceivably help solve the state's budget problems. If we were the first state with recreational marijuana east of the Mississippi, growing lots of it right away, I think we could get some benefit, but I don't know if it's going to be a panacea for the budget. What do you think?
Right. And again, it would have to be recreational. You're not really going to juice the state budget with medical. It would really have to be just, you know, if you want marijuana and you're above a certain age, you can get it. And I think we need to have that debate. We need to say, okay, well, very many people are okay with a cancer patient smoking marijuana to keep their appetite up, keep from losing weight. That's great. Are we okay with, you know, 21-year-old guy being, you know, legally able to be stoned in public, or, you know, stoned all day? I mean, again, I just think that that's a debate that should be had.
And that's one thing I want to just toss in there. There are some studies that show that if you smoke marijuana very early in your development or smoke too much of it early in development, that it could have a tie to certain mental illnesses. So I think there's an issue to making sure that underage people don't have too much access to it either. Rick,
that's the same with tobacco or alcohol.
Precisely. Rick, let me ask you this. Is there some sort of special relationship between West Virginia and marijuana, hillbillies and marijuana? I mean, ever since I've moved here, and I used to hike every day up to the top of the mountain in Big Ugly Creek when I lived there, and everyone thought I had a pot patch at the top of the mountain.
Yeah. So, and did you?
No comment.
So, you know, there's this saying that, like, NASCAR is a sport sort of Appalachian origin from running moonshine. And this, in a way, is, you could say, is the new moonshine. And I think a lot of people do have their patches. They have it in a cornfield. They have it under grow lights. So, I mean, that is sort of a part of the Appalachian tradition, having your own source of income or easement of mind.
Well, and as a matter of agriculture, aren't we actually very well suited to growing it here in the mountains? It's one of the few things that grows really well on our topography.
I also think that it's just this fascinating dichotomy in West Virginia. On one hand, there are a lot of folks that are very much teetotalers when it comes to drugs and alcohol. And on the other hand, I think there is this sort of rebel attitude, like the moonshiner, don't tell me what to do. If I want to grow this, if I want to smoke it, can you talk about that dichotomy, Rick?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people think, well, if you don't want to do it, then don't do it, and that's the end of the problem. You know, no one's proposing compelling people to make use of that. And I think there is a legitimate, here I am working the, I have this theory that, like, the libertarian, progressive, there's a 20% overlap on the Venn diagram, and this is something I think that's just, why are we criminalizing this? Why are we spending the time and resources to criminalize this, all the court costs and everything else? I think we probably have bigger fish to fry. So I can see this being a libertarian issue.
But, okay, so say it's a continuum. I mean, why do we criminalize heroin?
Well,
or should we not?
I think we needed to deal with it through other ways than locking people up anyway. And I think the war on drugs hasn't worked out very well. But again, this is in policy. It's a matter of experiment. And there's a difference of degree and magnitude, I'd say, and a difference in the level of addictiveness, I think.
Yeah, and we should say, too, you know, we're talking about experiments. Other states are doing this, and Colorado, for example, has legalized it recreationally. And, you know, however it's working out societally, it's certainly been a very big boon for their budget. I mean, to the tune of, I think, hundreds of millions of dollars.
And it wouldn't, I'm with you, it wouldn't fix our budget if we were legalizing and taxing it to be a part of it. I actually know someone from West Virginia who's working, I think, at a marijuana store in Colorado. I don't know if we might be able to get her on the phone at some point, but
where's Bo stand on all this?
Bo is silent on this one. I do think if we couple, like, a marijuana and tax with the Doritos tax, we could get a double whammy on the.
There's also, you know, a crony capitalism angle. Ohio tried to legalize it recently, I think maybe a year or two ago. And the way they were going to do it was there were going to be like four or five state licensed sellers. And so they were, you know, giving a lot of a very valuable power to these certain people. And actually the kind of pro-pot community got very mobilized against this particular legalization measure because they didn't like the way that it was going to go down.
That's the thing. It gets into interesting questions that come up in other things about, you know, free trade and then unregulated markets where there could be nasty stuff in the product, like we see with heroin these days. It raises an interesting question.
I think we're going to have a future conversation about drug legalization in general, because I think that's the road you're starting to go down. And it's a question of, are you an absolutist on either side? Or do you think that certain drugs are okay and certain aren't? And where do you draw the line? So we'll get into that one later. But for right now, this is The Front Porch. And I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee and Lori Lynn, conservative columnist and lawyer. Thanks for listening. It won't be much longer, Bo, I promise. Don't get going.
He has little words. Little words. Yes, well said. Spoken like a good man.
Is that singing? Is that kind of singing?
I call it palabritas. It's little words. Good.
Okay, calm down.
That's going to be the end of the show right there.
I don't know where Aunt Lydia is or when you need her.
Having a baby.